fire.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Help warp one.
Warp two. Warp factor eight. Engage.
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 Tea Earl Grey hot.
Tea Earl Grey hot.
Tea Earl Grey hot.
Would you like some tea?
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Earl Grey and Picard. My name is Steven.
I'm Dan.
And today we'll be talking about the best of both worlds, contrary to how we ended the last episode.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I mentioned wanting to watch All Good Things for the third episode. All Good Things will be one of the final episodes, since it's the series finale of Star Trek Next Generation. We're doing Best of Both Worlds 1 and 2 today, so we apologize for the mistake. Now, I've admitted that I made a mistake, and I've apologized for that. I would also like to point out that Steven made a mistake as well in the last episode, when we were talking about the Stargazer. Captain Picard was not the first officer of the Stargazer. He was the captain of the Stargazer. Jack Crusher, Wesley Crusher's father, was his first officer.
See, and I attribute that all to the beers that we drink. That's part of the fun of the podcast. You know, we drink and...
We drink and we forget.
Drink and forget. That's kind of the theme of the show. Speaking of drinks, that's actually a very nice segue. Right now, I am drinking something called a Knucklebone IPA. It's a strong beer. It's from a company called Skeleton Crew. It has a 65 IBU, very hoppy, and it's an Ontario beer, like all other beers we've been drinking so far on this podcast. And at the end of the episode, I will give you my rating based off Earl Grey's. And Dan, what do you have today?
I finished the Interstellar IPA by Fork River, which is decent as far as IPAs go, and I'm now drinking from Hop City Brewing a beer called Eighth Sin. It's a black lager, and I was not familiar with that, so that's the only reason I got it. And I'm about halfway through the can, and it's an Ontario beer. I want to support it. I can't because it tastes terrible, but I still want to support it, so we'll see what happens, okay. But it's not good.
Spoiler alert, I do not think Dan will be giving this many Earl Greys at the end.
Nope.
So there is some news regarding our podcast. We've only had 2 episodes so far, but from the stats that I've been seeing, we've had 21 views. A couple people from Spain have listened to us.
From the
UK.
And welcome. Thank you for listening.
And so we have a Facebook page ready to go. If you just type in Earl Grey and Picard on Facebook, you can find us there. And if you do, please like our page and tell us what you think of us.
That'll be where we post updates about the show, updates about what we might be doing, adding to it, taking away. If you want to offer suggestions for us or leave comments, please do.
Yeah, one thing I think we'd both really like is if you were to make suggestions on the beers Dan and I drink. So
just make sure they're good beers. I don't want to drink another bad beer because this Eighth Sin is terrible. Make it a good one.
Make it a good one. And if Dan really likes it, he'll mention your name. He'll mention your name. And
I'll thank you publicly on air.
Okay. And if you really, really plead of a particular beer you want us to talk about and it's not available here in Ontario, we may even order it. Maybe. But we'll think about it. But... anyway,
we're anxious to try new things, including beer, so we'll go with
that. You can make Dan and I better beer connoisseurs, but we can only do that with your help. So post on the Facebook page, and soon we will have even a Twitter page.
Well, I was thinking too, it wouldn't hurt if people posted contradictory, or if they wanted to argue some of the points we made, if they wanted to talk about some of the points we made.
Yep.
Or the mistakes that we make, because obviously we're going to make mistakes. If they want to talk about that on the Facebook page, then that would be awesome.
Yep. Please do. Please correct us.
Because that helps us guide the direction of the show as well, and where we're going to take it, where we're going to go with it, too.
Yep, exactly. You know, I mean, we are only going to talk about the best Picard episodes, but, you know, Dan, you just told me that there's going to be a comic coming out, a prequel comic to the Picard series. So that's something.
And a book.
Yeah. So that's something we can cover after we run out of everything else, including the movies. You know, so we have, like, what?
I don't want to watch Nemesis again.
You know what? Actually, Okay, going back to the Trek news a little bit, Star Trek Las Vegas is going on right now, and Brent Spiner is a guest at Star Trek Vegas. Oh,
that's cool.
Yep. And he was saying that Nemesis is not as bad as you think, rewatching it again today. So,
to be fair, I watched it twice, more than 10 years ago, whatever it last came out. Mm-hmm. Last time I watched it was easily 10 years ago.
Really? Okay, I think you should rewatch it.
It's not the worst Star Trek movie.
No,
it's just not, it's the worst of the Next Generation movies.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
Star Trek was the worst Star Trek movie.
I agree. Star Trek Into Darkness. Actually, yeah, Star Trek Into Darkness was the worst.
No, the original, the first Star Trek movie.
Oh, the motion picture?
That was awful. Star Trek the motion picture.
Okay, that was not good, no.
It was a love story to the ship, and I appreciated that, but it was so boring.
It was boring. The new Star Trek 2009 was...
They're great sci-fi movies, they're just not Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, it's barely worth even talking about. Yeah. Right? We shouldn't even give them credence, you know?
This is a Star Trek podcast. We really shouldn't even be talking about those movies because they're not Star Trek.
Yeah, and all you haters out there can hate, but...
talk about it on the Facebook page.
Exactly. So another thing regarding Star Trek news, as I'm sure all of you know by now, the Picard trailer has been released, and it's been released to quite a few surprises, and... Oh my god, do I ever want to talk about that trailer right now?
Steven won't shut up about the trailer. He really wants me to watch it. I've been trying to avoid spoilers, mostly because I want to be pure for the airing of the first episode, but Steven won't let it go. So, we were talking about watching the trailer and getting kind of a first reaction at the beginning of the podcast. Hopefully you folks like that, because we can't get any direct feedback. We're just going to assume everyone listening is completely 100% on board.
I would say everyone who is listening right now has seen the Picard trailer.
I guarantee that's not true. My sister listens, she hasn't watched it.
Okay, well, Dan's sister, if you're listening, watch the trailer. And so right now we are going to have something I'm very happy to do. We're going to have a live viewing of the Star Trek Picard trailer with Dan watching it for the very first time. And that's really cool. I wish you could all see this in person, but here we go. And Dan, if you want to comment as you're watching the trailer, I think that would be a good idea.
Okay, do it again.
Oh, wait. Okay. You know what? We're going to have to... Okay. We will be right back as we set this up. I got to put it on that TV.
Oh, yeah, the sound thing.
And we are back. We have everything set up now, and Dan is going to watch the Star Trek Picard trailer for the first time, and see how he likes it.
Yeah, this is a worldwide exclusive. Here we go. Well, YouTube ads. God bless him. Oh, France, nice.
Have you ever been a stranger to yourself?
Can you hear it? We're just going to turn it up a little bit.
Party hook, third friends at the farm.
Have you ever been a stranger to yourself?
Many, many times. Nearly two decades ago,
Captain
Data sacrificed his life for me. These past few years, I really tried to belong here. But it never truly felt like home.
Do you know who I am? Everything inside of me says that I'm safe with you.
Admiral, I have encountered a woman as she came to me for help. If she is who I think she is, she's in serious danger.
Sometimes I worry that you have forgotten who you are. We do not.
We can't do it alone. We need help. We need protection. We need a crew.
shit.
Engage.
Fuck right off. I got goosebumps. I got goosebumps watching that.
I don't want the game to end. I can see that, Captain.
So we just saw the part where Data appears at the end of the Star Trek Picard trailer, and Dan is speechless.
Really wish I hadn't watched that. Fuck. I have to wait, what, a year for that now?
Early 2020.
Come on.
Wow, so that was a live viewing of my co-host Dan watching the Picard trailer for the first time. What did you think of 7 of 9 Data? Fucking Data is returning to Star Trek.
I could have waited a whole year for that. It would have been nice not to have any spoilers for that, because now I have to wait. Be patient.
Welcome to the rest of the world.
That's why I don't watch that stuff. I hate you so much right now.
Well, you get to speculate. We get.
It gave me goosebumps seeing that.
It's amazing. I think you're happy. I think you're happy, frustrated, yet excited.
Oh, terrible.
Fuck. You didn't expect that, did you?
Nope.
Data's coming back.
Unreal. Yeah, that's going to be something else.
Well, I mean, we are doing all the best episodes leading up to that, so we're going to have weeks and months to speculate how Data is coming back.
Well, and we'll watch the movie, too, right?
Like, watch the movie.
We'll watch him drift off into space, and who knows how that's going to play out. Fuck.
Well, there are a few theories that Data is just a hologram. Picard was on the holodeck. Another theory is Data's body was floating in space after the scimitar exploded and they found his body and reassembled him. But the most likely theory is that that was B4's body with Data's memory transferred into his body, like what happened in the comics. Star Trek Countdown, it's called.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, when I first saw that...
What's his face figured out how to make a positronic brain?
Maddox?
Maddox, yeah.
Oh, and one other thing.
Or maybe it's Lore.
There is or Lore.
It's not like it can't be Lore.
There are actually two other spoilers I can tell you, but I'm not going to. Because I don't want to spoil anything else. But I know. Okay. You were kind enough to watch the trailer for me and I will not spoil anything else for you. But they're I don't really want to tell you, but okay. We will save Dan McLeod the agony of knowing more. But and anyone out there, you can spoil away and he can see, but he will probably not drink your beers then, so. Okay, so we've just finished watching the Picard trailer, and I think Dan is now over the shock of seeing Data at 7 of 9. And
Picard looking so good.
Picard is looking good. Dan, you were commenting on Data.
How he's going to be coming back?
No, you're commenting on his voice?
No, not Data. Picard. Picard sounds old. Picard sounds like an old man.
Oh, okay, because before...
He's soft-spoken.
Yes,
he's
got that I agree with.
A quiver.
That's,
I had nothing to do with Data at all.
Okay, I thought you said...
No, it was all Picard.
I thought you said Data, but it sounded old. Okay.
Mm-mm.
No, I agree with that fully.
Yeah, he's got that soft, kind of almost quavery kind of voice, like an older person.
Yeah. So Dan and I have also switched beers right now. I have switched to something stronger. It is called Liquid Art Festival. It's a strong 8.2% beer. And Dan, what are you drinking now?
Another Hop City, the Barking Squirrel, which is much better beer than the last one.
Yeah.
And in between this one, I did crack open a London Brewing Co. Red. That was awful, so I didn't even finish it.
Correction, I'm drinking something called Surround Sounds. Okay. But, so we'll be drinking these for the next little while. Okay, so getting actually onto the episode now, we covered a lot. Okay, so best of both freaking worlds. One of my first comments on this episode is Shelby. I did not like Shelby.
Well, can we say, because we were talking about this before, that neither one of us remembered this being an episode that didn't involve Picard at all?
Yes.
Like, the whole drive of the show, the whole crew working together, everything they're doing is because of Picard, to get Picard back, the whole thing. but it's not a heavy Picard episode. And I've watched this, both of these episodes, part one and part two, many times over the years. And I think only watching it through the lens of the podcast, I realized, yeah, this isn't a Picard episode.
No, you know what? That was my one of the very first things I thought, too. Best of both worlds, I will say it, is not a Picard episode.
No, like, yeah, it's the scenes that Picard has are good,
yeah.
But it's not a Picard episode.
No, this is, I think you'd agree with me, it's more of a Riker episode more than anything.
Oh yeah, very much so. Yeah.
You know, it's about Riker and Geordi, his career choices.
Data, Shelby, yeah.
Yeah, you know, is Riker ready for the captain's chair? It looks like he is, but he doesn't want it, you know, so if there was a Riker podcast, this would be front and center, definitely.
Oh, yeah, this would be a good one for season four, or season three, season four for Riker, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, like, the scenes with Picard are fantastic, and he is the driving force behind the episodes. He is the reason that crew is doing everything, what they're feeling, what they're doing, what they're talking about. He is a driving force, so you can see his presence through both episodes, the whole bit. But, like watching it, like, oh my god, we have to talk about this in the podcast. The Picard episodes. Like, no. I totally never realized that.
Yeah, like, I mean, in most of the Star Trek groups that I'm involved with, they will do the best Picard episodes, and Best of Both Worlds frequently comes up. So everyone else does think this is the Picard episode. And the only reason, the only reason that is because Picard's life is radically altered after this episode. You know, see that.
Well, it's the shock of seeing him as a Borg, too.
Yeah.
That scene at the end of part one, where he's standing on the screen and he's Locutus of Borg, and then in the first part of the second episode, where he's got that tear rolling down his eye.
Yes, yes.
Those are Picard moments that are like integral to the Picard character,
yeah.
And those are things that carry through the whole rest of the series. I think that's now looking at it this way. I think that's why people think of it as a Picard episode.
Yeah, and you know what? This, I will say it, and if anyone wants to disagree with me, please post it on the Facebook page. Remember Earl Grey and Picard on Facebook. But sorry, plug. But this has the best cliffhanger of any TV series I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, part one, part two.
You cannot beat this cliffhanger. And there were people yelling to Patrick Stewart that summer, saying, "You ruined my summer." Yeah, that's an anecdote from Patrick Stewart himself. You know, so
I remember watching that episode when I was a kid. I was like 9 or 10, maybe. I remember watching that and having to wait all summer for the series finale, for the series premiere about, and it was devastating to me as a kid. I remember that, it is one of the best ones.
Yeah, I cannot think of a better cliffhanger than that one, and that's why everyone thinks it's a Picard episode, is because they just remembered Locutus on screen saying
we are Locutus of Borg.
And resistance is futile, and that was the memorable moment of the episode.
Powerful Picard.
So,
and again, he doesn't have a lot of screen time, but
his screen time
is just
intense. He eats up every scene.
Yeah.
You know, and I was also thinking,
totally override what you're saying. Talking about like the minimal screen time he has is powerful. When he says to Riker, they're talking over the over the view cam. And he calls him number one in that Locutus voice.
Yeah.
Just chills, just goosebumps when you hear that.
Yeah, man.
And you see the look on Riker's face when he says it too.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, like every time I watch that episode and I see that cliffhanger, no matter what the interval of time has been since I last watched that episode, I will get goosebumps every freaking time.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a testament to good television. I've seen, trust me, in my lifetime, I've watched hundreds of TV shows, many cliffhangers. That's still the best one. 1990, right?
91
or 92. Yeah. And what, it's, we're 29. So 29 years later, that's still the best freaking cliffhanger. I mean, call me a college jaded because we're both Star Trek fans, but damn.
Well, and it's not just Picard, too. It's not just Patrick Stewart. It's all of them. They all turn in great forms, like Worf, like Michael Dorn playing Worf. When he sees that his captain is Borg, and he's a Borg, right? And he tried to prevent his captain from being taken. He got knocked out. You can see his disappointment. You can see the disappointment of Riker and Beverly and Troy and all of them. Like, they all make it such a good episode.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about this later in the episode, but I'll just bring it up now. When in part one, yeah. So when the Borg transport onto the ship and Worf attempts to disable the Borg, it was probably the weakest attempt I've ever seen to to disable someone, right? And Worf, he's a warrior. He's a freaking warrior who should know great fighting moves and is really, really strong. The only thing Worf did to this Borg was run up to him and
fall down, basically.
Yeah, like the Borg put out his hand, Worf goes flying. Give me a break. That's your war. That's your been your training your whole freaking life.
It makes you wonder how the Klingons got as far as they did.
I mean, I think that's just bad fight choreography. That's bad writing.
Oh, that's terrible for the show overall. Yeah. It has nothing to do with Michael Dorn as an actor or anything else. Terrible writing.
Yeah.
But when you're writing about Worf, who is supposed to be like the epitome of a warrior, especially on a human ship, he just fell down.
Like, yeah, he just fell down. Like, he is a bit of a bumbling goof. I must admit, Worf, you know?
Good lord.
Like, Riker, actually, he just kind of threw a punch, which is more than Worf did. Worf just ran up to him. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, what the fuck?
And there was also, again, I have to point out this part of the episode where the Borg cube is cutting. They're drilling into engineering, and you remember you have that door coming down.
And Geordi does the roll.
Yeah, he does a completely unnecessary roll.
He did that himself, too. That was his own stunt.
Good for him. Yeah. And what irked me was, like, okay, so this...
But I feel like if Worf had done that himself instead of Geordi, Worf would have just fallen down and then been
That's true.
Just the way they wrote him in this episode.
That's true. Yeah. But, like, so this cutting beam was going into main engineering, as was being said in the episode, and as that's being shot, engineering looks fine to me. Nothing's really happening in engineering.
No explosions. No sparks.
And you know what? I will attribute that to 1990s television making. Television filmmaking. You know, they don't have special effects. They have a budget. I get it. But if that were to happen on Discovery today...
They do have special effects, though.
Yeah, but like...
In Star Wars in the 70s, there were explosions.
Yeah, but... Okay. So I'm just saying, they didn't have much of a budget. That's why they probably couldn't do it.
Okay.
You know, if that was shot today, there would have been massive explosions, you know, it would have been more dramatic. But the only dramatic thing you had was Geordi LaForge doing a little unnecessary barrel roll underneath the lift. My God.
But good for Geordi for getting everybody out safely.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what moment of the episode that was in, what time that was. I was like,
the second quarter. Episode.
Second, okay.
Yeah. And you were talking about Shelby. You didn't like Shelby.
No.
I liked her toward the end, but in the beginning, I couldn't stand her at all. Mm-hmm. You know, she was just brash and anti-authority. But I think my big issue with her is that she was constantly trying to get one over on Riker. And I don't want that to happen, which I think is why I didn't like her so much. But towards the end, towards the end of the second episode, Riker respects her. She respects Riker. They work out their own differences. And I liked Shelby a lot more because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad Shelby was there for two episodes, you know, but I'm not too keen to see her much more in Star Trek, you know. Like, she was just very cold. You know what, as Dan and I were talking about during the break, she reminds me a lot of Michael Burnham, you know. I'm not a big Michael Burnham fan. I'm like a lukewarm Discovery fan. And Michael Burnham has little personality besides her Vulcan upbringing. You know, it's cold, calculated, and to the point. No warmth or humor or vulnerability. I think that's the word that best suits both Michael Burnham and Shelby. You know, both cocky. Well, they're both confident, but are they cocky? You know, like I don't know. Like, you've seen more Discovery since I, lately.
Yeah,
but
Shelby is pretty cocky, I think.
Yeah, and that's a character trait I just don't like. You know, if you lack humility, then no.
Well, Riker started out the same way and then mellowed out, but Shelby being the lead on the Borg, I would have thought would have lent itself to a little bit more humility, like you're saying, like a little more just general calmness and willingness to work with others, kind of to get the job done. I don't know, I agree with you. I don't like her, but I liked her a lot more towards the end.
Yeah. So I was also thinking, what makes the Borg such a good villain, and why are they such a good villain for Picard specifically? I have an answer, but I will let you.
For a great enemy for Picard after these episodes are because he has to live with knowing them very, very intimately. Knowing what they're like, what they feel, what they want to do, the drive that they have, constantly hearing them in the kind of the back of his mind, they're never really gone. That's a great trait for an enemy to have. But leading up to all this, the Borg are they look like us, but they're not.
Right.
They have the same drive to expand, but the way they do it, it's like a tribe of or like a group of say like carpenter ants or termites going into a house and then just chewing up the foundation. Like they just take what they need, fuck everything else, they just destroy everything else. And their whole shtick about taking the technological and biological distinctiveness and making it their own. Well, yeah, you could look at it one way, they just want to improve themselves, but how they go about it, they're destroying everything, taking away every piece of autonomy that we have, taking away any ability we have, any sort of free will that we have. That, to any rational human being, is terrifying, right? I think, not just for Picard, but for everyone, I think that makes a great villain.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. I would just add, they are the antithesis to everything Picard is. For me, Picard represents collaboration, dialogue, empathy, kindness, and the Borg are none of that. Yeah. You know, they are the complete opposite, and that is the representation of a good villain. You know, and I told you, I think, in episode one, how Q was a good foil for Picard, right? Like, he is the Joker to Picard, but I think more so the Borg are like the Joker. You know, the complete opposite of Picard. You know, they represent everything Picard is not. Picard's all about dialogue and building bridges, whereas the Borg just take. Don't communicate, have no dialogue,
there's no rationalization.
They just consume, you know. So they are the best villains. Are usually, they're the mirrors for the heroes, you know.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah, I can see that.
You know, but like the evil mirror, in mirror in terms of the opposites, you know. So that's, and you know, the Borg also represents, you know, fear of automation, you know, and I think they speak even more today than they did in the 90s when automation wasn't such a threat.
Well, and the whole AI thing as well, because you talk about the Borg Queen that we get introduced to in Star Trek First Contact, and then like more so in Voyager and whatnot.
They're like the Star Trek version of Skynet.
Yeah, exactly. And there's multiple queens, and they all work together, and they're the whole idea of the hive mind. They're basically bees with a queen bee, except bees carry pollen from plant to plant and help plants spread around, whereas Borg go from planet to planet and just really just destroy stuff, just screw.
They're like the, I'm not familiar with Marvel comics, but they're like the Galactus of the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, but even more prevalent because they can be everywhere in an instant with a
transwarp conduit.
But, and Galactus goes from like planet to planet, but it takes them a long time to get there.
That's true.
Whereas Borg just show up and just destroy it, and then they move on to the next one.
So, Picard kicking Riker in the butt to take the captain's chair. There was this one line where Picard said, "The Enterprise will go on fine without you." Now, I will say that is kind of, you know, this is maybe the only time I'll ever criticize Picard, but that is kind of a dick thing to say.
Yep. I knew you were going to say that.
How did you know
that? I knew you were going to say that, because I thought the same thing when I watched it. But you could see when the Admiral tells Picard that Riker's up for another captain spot, Picard had a real visceral reaction to that. He did not want Riker to leave, but he knew that it would be best for Riker. So it's like in Call of the Wild, or was it White Fang, where he takes the stick and he tries to get the wolf to run away, his buddy the wolf to run away. You know, you gotta,
I've not seen the movie.
You gotta the read the book. You gotta kick him in the ass. You gotta kick him out the door. Yeah. You gotta make him think that it doesn't matter that he's leaving, even though it tears you up inside.
Oh, I understand.
I think that's where it was coming from.
On your place of love.
Yeah, yeah. We have to make you think that it's not going to matter if you leave, because we need you to leave because it's good for you, even though it's going to kill us to do it. I think that's where that was coming from. But I knew you were going to say that because I thought the same thing.
Say what you will. I think it's a dick move, but okay. No, like I understand. I understand. Picard had to kick him in the ass and just get Riker to think. But, you know, okay. I'll let it slide, Picard. You're too good of a man. I know why you did what you did. Fine.
And in the end, he didn't do it anyway, so.
It's true. Oh, and speaking of that promotion, if Riker had accepted his command,
he would have been dead.
He would have been dead, yes.
That ship got blown up.
Okay, let me just see it. Is it commission on... Commission is the right word. Yeah, commission on the Melbourne.
Yeah.
So the Melbourne was destroyed in the Battle of Wolf 359.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so... There you go.
So
you know,
his love for Picard and the ship saved his life.
Oh, there you go. I also, one thing about Picard I do love in this episode is how cool he is under pressure.
You know, he's always cool under pressure.
He's like...
Always.
I would not have... I mean, I'm just Stephen Lang. I'm a podcast moderator. Not even moderator, but podcast presenter. And don't have much authority or experience commanding a starship. So obviously I would not have had the coolness of Picard. But I wish I would have. You know, and I really, really respect Picard for his coolness under pressure.
No, he does a good job for sure.
You know, so it's a testament to his character and Starfleet training. Okay, so one other thing I want to bring up is the conversation between Picard and Guinan. You know, it seems like these two have amazing chemistry together as actors and characters. And so Picard was touring the ship before a great battle, and it's their tradition to do so, because everyone thinks they're going to die, you know. And Picard and Guinan, they kind of put things into perspective a little bit, you know. And Guinan said with such assuredness that this is not the end. You know, she has knowledge of the future. You know, like, do you remember her in yesterday's Enterprise where, you know, she can sense things beyond time and space?
Well, I liked your point, too, that, like even if a ship is destroyed, as long as some humans survive, the human race goes on. As long as some people remember, they'll still be around.
Okay, well, and...
Really integral.
It is integral. Like, their entire species, the Elorians, I believe they're called, you know, they were, their planet was ravaged by the Borg, if not destroyed.
So the few that survived, they're scattered across the galaxy.
Exactly. And you're familiar, you did see the J.J. Abrams 2009 Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know Romulus was destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you've seen the Picard trailer, and you know Romulans are in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so same instance there, you know. So, humanity will live on. You know, we can say that today, like, say that we all die as a result of some asteroid impact, some nuclear war, climate change. You know, I think it is hard to eliminate us as a species. It's kind of, I know.
Well, like cockroaches will continue on no matter what.
Yeah.
Some small number.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to comment on the fact that Dan called us all cockroaches, that's all right.
Come at me, people. Come on.
But you can send them any angry face emoticons on Facebook. There's a button where you can select your emotion. You can give them the angry face.
Tell them how to do it, Steve. But I like my thing with Guinan in these episodes was her scene with her Riker. When her and Riker are talking, and she's basically telling him, you have to stop thinking of Picard as the captain. You're the captain now. You have to stop thinking like him because he knows how you're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. But what she says about her and Picard, her friendship with Picard, it transcends friendship, it transcends family. There's something much more than that.
Yeah.
And because I know the episode's coming up, you know, part of what she's referencing when they go back in time.
Yeah.
But also that commitment and that love that they have for each other is great to watch and great to see play out. When it helps Riker come to terms with the fact that he has to stop thinking like Picard.
Yeah, you know what? If it weren't for Guinan's advice, they might be all dead.
Yeah, never would have happened, right?
Because,
yeah.
Like, Guinan was just saying, if you think like Picard...
You're done.
You're done.
Yeah.
You know? So, Guinan saves the day.
Yeah, again.
And at the end of the episode, Data saves the day by, you know, getting into Locutus's mind and... what was it? Well, like getting the sleep command. That's what it was,
yeah,
right?
You know,
and just messaging Riker at the last second there saying, pause, you know, or something like
just
that.
Hold on just a second.
Exactly.
We've got this.
We got this. You know, so Data and Guinan save the day in this episode, as well as as well as Picard.
Yeah, he fights back to Locutus and gets hurt.
Okay, so the Borg chose Picard to be the representative of... What, their race, or was it their representative for humanity?
Representative for humanity.
Humanity, okay. Yeah. And so what I wanted to say to that was, who the fuck can blame them? They have Jean-Luc Picard. You know, if I had to pick a representative for humanity, I would pick Jean-Luc Picard. So I will side with the Borg on that one. Yeah. Totally side with the Borg. They made the right choice. They picked Captain fucking Picard as the representative for humanity.
Yeah,
props absolutely. To the Borg yeah. for that. I would high five the Borg. Good choice.
Well, he's a famous starship captain, revered for his coolness under pressure, for his battle prowess, for his diplomacy.
But you know what? They also took away his empathy. You know?
Oh yeah.
You know, so they
took away everything that made him prepared.
Human.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they kept what? They
kept the face. Basically.
Well, they kept the face. They kept the tactics. You know, they kept the
got all that knowledge.
Strategy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Master strategician.
Yeah. You know, Picard's acting as Locutus, phenomenal.
Oh yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Like the when I'm watching it, I watched it last weekend. I watched it again today. Both episodes, the makeup and the prosthesis for Picard as Locutus, the makeup especially was fairly garbagey. Like the close-ups when he's on the view screen were just a little not great.
Yeah,
but you still had that because of Jean-Luc, because of Patrick Stewart. You still had that the gravitas of Borg that came through all that. And it just seeing the captain stuck like that was just something else to see. Like,
well,
fantastic.
How do you think the Borg are going to, or why do you think the Borg are going to come back in Star Trek Picard? You saw the trailer. You know the Borg are coming back.
There's a busted up cube, yeah.
There's a busted up cube. You know, what can we make of that? We know from the trailer, I have seen many YouTube videos of the Easter eggs of the trailer, the race trailer breakdown, that the Romulans and the Borg play some sort of, there's a connection there between the two.
I can see that.
You know, because like Romulus was destroyed. They're trying to reverse engineer Borg technology, something along those lines, you know? And so there is one theory out there that, you know, that woman who came to Picard saying, I feel safe with you?
Yeah.
She is actually Lol. Because she looks like Data's daughter. And Data's obviously in Star Trek,
but
right?
What happened to Lol at the end of that episode?
Well, she just she didn't get dismantled, did she? She just got shut down.
Is that what it was? I thought she got dismantled, didn't she?
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, Earl Grey and Picard listeners, comment on, was she disassembled or was she just shut down? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's.
But. You can see the resemblance between that character on the Picard trailer and Lol. They kind of look alike, don't they? And I would not mind seeing that. I would not mind seeing Return of Lol.
Coming to Picard as the sort of kind of grandfather figure.
Yeah. You know.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. You
know? Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how the Borg come into play. We have 7 of 9 coming back. We can spend, you know, I think at one point we should dedicate an entire episode to breaking down the Star Trek Picard trailer and coming up with theories. You know, I think that
we need another trailer too to kind of help us.
We have two trailers. Yeah. Well, you've just seen the second one.
Just the one, yeah.
Well, the first one, you know, you can't get any more information from that except that at one point he was promoted to Admiral.
And which we already knew, well, from the books and stuff, yeah.
So there are a lot of theories going on around there, like how Data is back. My personal suspicion is that he's just a holodeck character. That's what I would go with.
They reassemble him, and he's basically just like Data from the beginning.
And I can still see the goosebumps on Dan's arms from the trailer.
Yeah.
I had goosebumps for the whole... When I first saw that trailer, I could not stop thinking about it. I was watching all the trailer breakdowns and things I may have missed, and
Well, it's the whole reason we're doing the podcast, right? Because of Picard.
Yeah.
And the character that he is and the respect that we have for that character.
Yeah.
And he's why we're doing this podcast.
That's exactly it, you know? And I'm glad you can join us for this journey and our drinking journey. So I hope all of you can experience some new Canadian craft beers to enjoy.
My favorite part about all this, too, is towards the end of each episode, we tend to start meandering a little bit as the beers kind of hit us.
Yeah.
Get a kick out of that. Because the last thing we were talking about in regards to the episode was, what were we talking about with the episode?
What, our last point?
Yeah, on the episode.
Oh, well, the conversation between Guinan and Picard.
Yeah, about Guinan and Picard, yeah. And Guinan and Riker, and then Guinan saving the day.
And then we came back to the Picard trailer.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to mention, and
I liked when Data's hooked up to Picard, to Locutus, trying to talk to him, and then Data saying, like, oh, we haven't made any contact, we made through all the barriers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then stuff happens, Locutus reaches over and grabs his arm, and then Picard's there. He's fighting back from the inside, he's trying to come to the surface, and then he manages to find a way, because he's Picard, to say, sleep, put them to sleep.
Yeah. Right? If he hadn't said that, then they would be no more shots.
Yeah, it would have been it. But because he's Picard, he has that iron control, he's able to get through it all.
So if we were to rate this episode just in terms of the awesomeness of Picard, it's hard to do that, you know, because Picard is not featured very prominently in this episode, you know.
Yeah, so it's not a Picard-heavy episode.
It is a great episode. You know, it is actually in the top five of Star Trek TNG episodes.
And it's about Picard.
It's about Picard.
Not a lot with him in it.
It feels like, you know, when Picard's not in the scene, everyone's talking about Picard.
But when he is in the scene, like, he eats it up.
He owns it.
Yeah.
You know, but that one scene where that tear is coming down his cheek, I love that scene.
The beginning of the second episode and the end of the first episode, where he's standing there on the view cam and it's just Locutus and holy.
I was going to say, though, that it was very CGI. I could tell that was a CGI teardrop. That it was, yeah.
No.
Rewatch it. That's a CGI.
No.
It's a computer generated teardrop.
I would put money on that.
All right. Yeah. $20 done.
I could look that up right now. Right now. I'm pulling up my phone. We're looking that up to see, because there's no way that was fake. Especially because that was back in, 91, 92?
All right. Well, while Dan is doing that, I'm just going to let you know that I will be launching a Earl Grey and Picard Twitter account very soon, and please check that out. And please like us on Facebook. Who's ever watching? I know we have some viewers in Spain, or listeners in Spain, the UK, the US, and go to Facebook and type in Earl Grey and Picard, and you will find us. And what I want you all to do is give suggestions of what beer we can drink and what episodes we should do. I mean, we kind of have all the episodes lined up. We will talk about that as the episode ends. Of the next two we're going to do, and spoiler alert, they will be both season 4 episodes.
I'm looking at this.
Okay, so Dan cannot find the answer for...
Not yet. I can't find it.
Okay, well, if any of you know for sure or have an opinion, please post on the Star Trek Earl Grey and Picard Facebook page on if you think that tier is CG or real.
I think that's all Patrick Stewart.
I think it's all fake. As much of a great actor as Patrick Stewart is, that is fake.
I think you're taking away from Patrick Stewart, right. But...
Okay, so we're going to wrap up this episode. Okay, so we generally rate these episodes. This is not a Picard episode. Okay, it is not a Picard. It is...
And not Picard, the way we would normally be doing
no.
it.
No. Picard has enough screen... Does what, maybe like 15 minutes of screen time in the two-parter?
Two episodes max, yeah.
But every time he's not in the shot, everyone's talking about Picard.
Yeah, his presence is still there, right? Yeah, exactly. That's why it's a Picard episode.
So, because of that, I'm giving this 7 Earl Greys out of 10. 6.5, maybe. Let's go with 6.5. It's a great TNG episode, but a Picard episode, it is not. So because of that, it's 6.5.
So I go with a 6, only because, for the exact same reason, the episodes, the scenes with Picard are great, but it's not a Picard episode. It's not focused on him. He's not the driving force behind it. It's a great episode, one of the best of TNG. So I can't give it a 5. I have to give it a 6. But I can't give it anything higher because it's not a Picard episode.
Yeah. Well, we can both agree this is one of the pinnacle episodes of TNG in general.
It's one of the episodes that the series turns on, too.
Exactly. I mean, this episode is referenced many times throughout the Star Trek, throughout the TNG lore. It's mentioned in First Contact, mainly, and then Descent, Part 1 and 2, and Family, and a few more, probably, that I can't even think of. But it is an integral part of the TNG timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is why I think we needed to do it justice, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah.
Because it has such an effect on Picard's life.
it colors everything that happens to him after, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the beers we drank today, I'm going to say that the one I'm drinking right now, the Liquid Art, or sorry, the Surround Sound beer, it's a double IPA, 8.2%. I'm giving this 8.5 Earl Greys out of 10. I quite enjoy it. And I can definitely feel the effects of it. it is interesting label, good Ontario craft beer, 8.5. It's not as good as the 10 point, what was it?
The Sparkle Puff.
Sparkle yeah. Puff, that was a 10.2, something like that, from the last episode. That yeah, had, I don't remember what rating I gave that, but it's not as quite as good as that, but getting close. And the one I had before that was, the Nickel Bone, which I'm going to give a 7.5. Not quite as hoppy as I would have liked. Nothing too special about it, but it was good. It was good. No Bone Shaker, and it's around there with the Interstellar IPA, I would say. And Dan, do you want to give your ratings for tonight for the beers?
The Interstellar, not bad. probably 5.5. It was decent. Local. I enjoyed that, but not. There are definitely better beers out there. The Eighth Sin, I give that a 1.5. That was a terrible beer.
That's barely beer at that point.
Horrific. The Barking Squirrel, much, much better. I give that a 5.5.
Great. So Dan's beer's not the greatest today. My beer is better.
I'm a little jealous, but you know, what are you going to do?
Well, Dan, I guess for the next episode, you'll have to get better beers then, won't you?
Well, I'm going to bring back some Sparkle Puff, I think.
So you're not going back to Sparkle Puff, are you? Okay, well, anyone has any suggestions for beers of what you want Dan and I to have next episode, please put them in the Facebook comment section. Okay, so for the next two episodes, Dan, what are we going to be doing?
The first one we're going to do is Family, which
yep.
immediately follows the season premiere of the fourth season.
Yeah, and we can read that is a Picard episode.
Oh, yeah, very Picard episode.
Very Picard
episode. All Picard. And the second one we're doing three episodes in the fourth season, only because we need to not make up for the first Picard episode of the fourth season, but we need to add more to it. So we're doing Family. What's the other one we're doing?
Devil's Due. That's kind of a Dark Horse episode. It's not talked about very often, but you know,
it's a good episode though. It still holds up. Yeah.
Like we could just stick to the classics, you know. But let's change it up a bit. Let's do one that not everyone remembers or talks about very often. Devil's Due is a great freaking season 4 Picard episode.
And so, you know, we thought that about Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not as Picard focused as we thought. Maybe Family isn't about Picard at all. Maybe it's just about his family. Who knows? We're going to find out.
Maybe it's more of a Worf episode.
Yeah, right? maybe it is. Who knows? We'll have to watch.
Well, Worf does feature prominently in Family. I do remember that.
Yep.
And it's a great episode. And Devil's Due, great freaking episode too. Picard features very prominently in that. Dan, I kind of have an idea what we'll be doing after that, but we are not going to spoil those for you right now. You'll just have to keep tuning in. And yeah, we hope to grow this podcast a little bit, you know? Like, I think a lot of people out there love beer, and a lot of people out there like Star Trek, and a lot of people out there like Picard. So, at some point, we're going to be offering more features to potential subscribers, but it kind of depends a little bit on the interaction of the audience. So please subscribe or sign up to the Facebook page and let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what we're doing right, what we're not doing right.
Yeah, and if we screwed up this week in terms of any of the facts that we got. I mean,
if we should drink more, if we should drink less.
Yeah, I say drink more. That's just me, though, you know.
Yeah, but you're drunk right now, so who knows?
A little bit. You know, only because I've had the double IPA. You know, you've been sticking to single IPAs.
This time, yeah.
And did you have a hangover last time? Or how did you...
Oh, yeah. I was hungover last time, for sure. Okay. Yeah, definitely hungover last time.
Well, Dan has to work tomorrow at 8 a.m. So
yeah.
Let's all wish him the best.
Midnight. Oh, 10 to 12 now, yeah.
10 to 12. So, I think it's about time we call it a wrap, okay?
Yeah,
so
we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, no, it's been a great episode, and the next episode will be again in mid-August-ish, you know, so we'll be talking about Family.
And if you like us, we are actually, I forgot to mention this, we are on several platforms, but one of the most popular ones you can find us on is Spotify, and we are now on Anchor, Anchor FM, I believe it's called. You can find us there, and a whole bunch of others too, but find us on Facebook and you'll have lots of updates. Earl Grey and Picard on Facebook. Thank you for listening. I'm Steven.
I'm Dan.
And
we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.